as a parent, it makes sense that you want to be able to say to your child, perhaps, don't worry about it. We've got it covered. Choose where you want to go to school. We want to support you. But when it comes time for that money to go from the household to the educational institution, you know, that's when that's when the pinch can come. So having conversations early and being very upfront about what can a family afford to do, what's on the student and what's on the family or whomever, you know, grandparents might be willing to help. So I think it's just really important to get an idea about what's the total amount, a realistic idea, the total amount you might need, and then think about your sources and how you're going to finance it.
For a majority of American students, going to college means going into debt. In fact, the total amount of student loan debt currently exceeds $1 trillion. A group of extension specialists, including Kansas State University's Elizabeth Kish, have responded to the student loan debt crisis with a series of 10 fact sheets to help students and their parents understand student loans both before and after they borrow money. On today's Sound Living, strategies for paying for education and training beyond high school. Sound Living is a weekly public affairs program produced by Research and Extension at Kansas State University. I'm Jeff Wickman. K-State Research and Extension Family Resource Management Specialist Elizabeth Kish says the big decisions to be made when it comes to education beyond high school typically include what to study, where to study, and how to pay for it. While there are several options for covering the costs, making monthly contributions to a college fund can eliminate or greatly reduce student loan debt.
It's always good to start saving early, as we've talked about in a lot of different contexts. I guess another thing that parents who have children who they anticipate will be going to college or other education beyond high school is to start talking about ways that the family as a whole might pay for that investment in education. Savings is certainly one way, and it's a very important way, but there are other ways as well.
One of the things we hear a lot about are the 529 plans, where you can really, it's kind of like a 401k. You set the money aside and then you withdraw it when you need it.
Right. So 529 plans can be a good way to save and invest for a college education. I think the important thing about that would be to understand the terms of the plan that you're thinking about putting the money into. I guess I would also, though, like to mention, in addition to savings, there are still scholarships and grants out there, sort of what might be called free money. And free money means there's no expectation of repayment. If we think about saving or work study or a job, we might think about that as your money. That's money that you've accumulated or you're earning as the student goes through college. And then their money is the student loan. And that means you get the funds, but then you do have to repay them.
It seems like there's always a lot of talk about scholarship money being available, but really people have to find that money. There's a little work on their
part.
There's
definitely could be some work involved, and also not just the work in identifying opportunities to go after, but there's the work. I think we all know or assume that students with better grades or activities, well-rounded students, are likely to be more competitive for some of those opportunities as well. So there's that work that the student needs to do throughout their earlier education years, and then also the work that needs to be done to secure a scholarship or a grant.
And some of these kind of boil down to some of their extracurricular activities. It may be some service organizations.
Right. It can be extracurricular, but also some of them are location-based. And it could be the county that you live in or the school system that you've attended. It could be depending on parents' employment. Some employers actually have programs for children of those employees. So it could be a lot of different things.
Basically, you're saying explore all options.
Exactly. That's a good idea.
There's also student loans that parents and students will be looking at, and that's something that also needs to be studied carefully because you have private options and federal options, and there's a big difference, especially in interest rates.
Right. So there are the two different programs. There's the federal student loan program, and then there are private lenders, and they do have different terms and different programs, different eligibilities, in fact, and also different limits on how much you can borrow, and as you mentioned, different interest rates. And to add all on top of all of that, the repayment options can also be different. So again, this is really a case of Buyer, beware. Borrower, beware. Understand the terms and conditions that you are accepting when you take the money, and be prepared to repay it under those terms and conditions.
Because the failure to repay is really something that you don't want to go through.
Right, yeah. It can affect the student. Again, but you have to remember, who is the borrower going to be? Is the borrower going to be the student? And what's the limit that the student can take out? Versus, will the borrower be the parents? And how much can they take out? So again, this is where communication is very important. As a parent, it makes sense that you want to be able to say to your child, perhaps, don't worry about it. We've got it covered. Choose where you want to go to school. We want to support you. But when it comes time for that money to go from the household to the educational institution, you know, that's when that's when the pinch can come. So having conversations early and being very upfront about what can a family afford to do, what's on the student and what's on the family or whomever. You know, grandparents might be willing to help. So I think it's just really important to get an idea about what's the total amount, a realistic idea, the total amount you might need, and then think about your sources and how you're going to finance it.
It's a good point. Don't make promises that you can't make. If you're not sure you're going to be able to afford your son or daughter's tuition, don't say that it's taken care of.
Yes. I think, as we all know, most of us can handle the truth. It's when we feel like we've been misled that things get a little bit ugly sometimes, especially in families.
We often think of tuition as being the major expense, but really, if a student is living on their own or living in a dorm, there are other costs that are going to be added in. So it's really not just saving for the tuition. There's living expenses also involved.
That's right. There are the living expenses, the books, the other educational expenses that go along with that. But then there could also be student activities. If the student is planning to travel, either with organizations or leisure travel, perhaps we think of spring break. But, you know, there could be options and opportunities for travel related to their area of study. And so those things you want to think about. If a student may need some remediation or need to brush up on some skills or to improve their skills a bit before they're able to take required courses, that's still going to cost tuition money, probably. So you need to plan that ahead. If a student over time changes their major and then that might slow them down in their time to graduation, that will also add on tuition costs. It may be another semester, maybe another year. I personally did that several times, and so, of course, that added some time to my first degree. We just have to remember that it does all add up, and it can be frustrating and stressful to families when they think about how they're going to pay for it. It's a big investment, and it is an investment because of the anticipated return over the lifetime of that student and their ability, hopefully, to earn more than they would if they hadn't made that investment and to have other opportunities that they might not otherwise have.
And all of the numbers still seem to be bearing that out, that regardless of whether you're going into a trade or whether you're going to college and getting the four-year degree, you are most likely over time going to make more than if you just had the high school graduation.
That's right. There is still good evidence that that's the case. And sometimes we do recognize that not all degrees or programs are going to have the same monetary return as others, but that doesn't mean there's not other returns to that education. And so, yes, the money is important. I think we in our country particularly, we think about the monetary return to education, but there are some other lifetime benefits beyond the increase in salary that you might earn.
I did mention tuition a while back, and really tuition does come into play because that's kind of the upfront cost. You can compare apples to apples when you're looking at different universities. Kansas State is one of those that happens to be on the lower end, so we want people to keep that in mind.
Especially for residents of Kansas, right? So staying in state can really make sense. There are many very strong programs at the state institutions, Kansas State and the others. And so it can definitely make sense to stay in state. Personally, I think you would want to be clear about what is the anticipated additional return on the investment to going out of state or to going to a particular institution. And like any consumer purchase or endeavor, it's always good to compare more than one option. And I think college particularly, because, you know, the other thing about that is not every school will be a good fit for the student. And so you also have to keep in mind what the student is looking for and the environment that can best suit the student so that that student can be successful.
And that really might be one of those other unanticipated expenses, is just going and looking at various colleges.
That's true. That's true. So if you think about your total going to college budget, you should definitely plan, if you can, some of those visits.
A lot of things can be done online. Is that also a good way to kind of get an overview of what a school might be like?
I think so. We're getting a little bit beyond my expertise, but I have attended several colleges and universities, and I certainly did everything I could to learn about them up front. And then my final choice is I would go and visit.
And especially the program area that you're interested
yes,
in.
Yes, exactly.
Let's also talk about a contest that is coming up, because this sounds like something that a lot of students or potential students might be interested in, because it involves the social media aspect and video, and those just seem to go together now so well.
They really do go together. And the other aspect is you get to talk about yourself. You get to share your experiences. And in fact, we want to hear about your experiences in a one-minute video that tells your story. This is open to all college students. You do have to be 18 or older at any institution.
So unless you're Doogie Howser, you're probably going to qualify.
Yeah,
right?
I think so. Yeah, you're right. But some people might not remember who Doogie Howser is. So what we want in this video is to talk about how you're paying for college or how you anticipate paying for college. Three things you think you know about the repayment of student loans, whether you're in repayment yet or not. And then how you are being college money smart. And that's the hashtag we're using. So hashtag college money smart.
And they're looking for some creativity. They want you to get as many different elements, I guess, into this video as possible.
Right. You do need to address all three of those aspects in the way that you choose. And yes, we do want creativity. There's three different ways that we're judging this. One is the judge's prize, and that obviously will be, we want people to be accurate, so we can't reward inaccurate information. And then there are two prizes for social engagement. Our goal is that students will create these videos, upload them to YouTube, put the hashtag, tag your college or university, and then share it with your friends and get them, you know, the social engagement is really the likes, the shares, the views, that kind of thing.
So in order to get those shares and likes and views, it is going to have to be creative. There's going to have to be a fun aspect.
Right,
to it.
Exactly. And we hope it will be fun. It's summer. Some students are in summer school, but others are not. So we do hope you'll take advantage of it. I should say this project is sponsored by a group of extension specialists and university faculty based at the land-grant colleges and universities in the North Central region, which is the Midwest.
Which includes Kansas State.
Which includes Kansas
State. So we'd like to see lots of entries from Kansas State.
And Kansas in general, but Kansas State, of course. Yeah.
And there is an entry deadline. These are supposed to be in by July 15th, I believe.
Correct, July 15th. And then we'll go through and search the hashtag and, oh, yes, so two hashtags in your entry. Hashtag college money smart and hashtag contest.
And they can find more information about this by doing that same
if you
hashtag?
Put, yes, I do it regularly just to see if there's anything new, and it does come up. So yeah, we do have a link on a website, so if you search with the hashtag college money smart, the link to that will come up and it has the full instructions and information.
So also if you're even not going to enter, you can at least go and view these and maybe like the ones that you do like.
Right. So for that, I think I haven't checked in the last couple of days. The last time I looked, I didn't see any posted yet, but I'm hoping.
Still early and they've still got
very
time.
Early. And as we know, we all turn in our assignments at the last minute. At least I always do.
It's the college way.
That's right.
That's K-State Research and Extension Family Resource Management Specialist Elizabeth Kish. More information on personal finance is available at county and district extension offices and on the extension website, www.ksre.ksu.edu, ksre.ksu.edu. Sound Living is a weekly public affairs program produced by Research and Extension at Kansas State University. I'm Jeff Wickman. And this is the K-State Radio Network.